Hello, followers. Before we begin, this story is part of an expanded universe created by Will Rain and Tim Sprague from the Last Lodge YouTube channel. If you enjoy this content and are hungry for more, feel free to check them out. Link in the description. Also, this is a collaborative effort with the fellow narrator channel, Animus. Some of you may know him from his Cryptid Delivery Man series. By the time you hear this story, his will be live and available. Link down in the description for his piece as well, written by Will Rain. Now, let's delve into the dark together. The lamest ride at Arcadian Heights, and there really isn't much debate about it, is the carousel. There's nothing inherently wrong with the ride. It's your basic carousel. It spins around in a circle while the horses go up and down on their poles. Meanwhile, the automated calliope in the center plays a variety of songs with that combination of bells, drums, and pipes that instantly makes you identify it with carousels. In short, it's the exact same ride that can be found at pretty much every carnival and amusement park in existence. That familiarity is what makes it the lamest ride here. There's just nothing unique about it. The rest of Arcadian Heights is a state-of-the-art amusement park with some of the best rides and attractions in the world. Over the years, things have been updated and advanced, but this carousel still sits right at the front of the park, only seeing any change when something needs fixed or repainted. Most of the time, I'm rather bored being one of the ride's two operators. During the park's Halloween Nights of Fear events, though, I'm extremely grateful. The crowds at Arcadian Heights during the event can be wild, to say the least. A party atmosphere, a Halloween theme, and readily available alcohol is quite the mixture. The sheer number of horror stories from park employees every year is legitimately astounding. As I stand at the control panel for the carousel, I watch the crowd and see a number of intoxicated guests get into line for the newest roller coaster in the park, the Cold Flame. They're joining at least an hour's wait worth of other drunk and rowdy would-be riders. The employee in charge of the ride's entryway looks over at me with an exacerbated expression on her face. I give her a sympathetic one in return. The line for my ride is much less rowdy. It's pretty easy when there's no one in it. There's also a grand total of 2 people riding it currently. It's obvious that the only reason they're on it at all is because they're not able to ride anything else in the park. One of them is an older woman on crutches, and the other is her dutiful husband. Both are seated on one of the stationary benches rather than a horse. They're the only riders I've had in an hour.
"This is torturous," my assistant says from beside me. "No wonder the carousel on the other side of the park was taken out last year."
I look away from the carousel and down at the woman standing nearby. This is Heather Parsons' first year at Arcadian Heights, so while she's seen how slow the lines can be during the summer for this ride, she's only now experiencing the sheer disregard for it during Nights of Fear. She runs a hand through her long brown hair and grunts in dissatisfaction. For a split second, I consider admonishing her. Technically, she isn't supposed to leave the line area of the ride unless she's helping guests off the carousel after it's finished its rotations. Seeing as how there's no one on that line, though, I just let it drop. "It's pretty slow," I admit, pressing the button to send the carousel into the final spins that will slow it to a stop.
"It isn't slow, Ben,"
Heather counters.
"This is dead."
"Pretty appropriate for Halloween."
"Oh, har har. I can't even blame these people. There's nothing interesting about this ride."
I shrug. "That's not entirely true. I mean, yeah, the carousel's boring for everyone that's not a kid, but this particular carousel has a pretty interesting backstory." She looked at me with a raised eyebrow.
"I find that really hard to believe."
The ride begins to slow to a halt. Just before it stops, there's an audible squeaking sound. I frown. The ride needs more hydraulic fluid. This happens ever so often.
"I'll tell you what," I say to Heather. "You help those riders off and out of the fenced area, and I'll tell you the story while I fill the fluid. You can judge for yourself."
As she goes off to assist the woman in crutches, I go over to a locked case next to the control panel.
I reach into my pocket and produce the key before unlocking it. Inside are a number of different maintenance objects, but all that I'm interested in is the large jug of hydraulic fluid and the heavy wrench next to it. I retrieve the objects and step onto the now still platform. Very little has changed with the ride over the decades, but one thing that has is part of the mechanics that run it. These components have been updated by necessity when the motor had failed and parts had no longer been available for it. The motor had been swapped out for a newer one, and at the same time a new hydraulic system had been installed. I opened a hidden hatch on the ride's floor and kneel down. There's a metal cap inside, and I use the wrench to remove it. I begin to pour the fluid into the now exposed tube.
"So, what's this story?"
Heather asks as she finishes with the two riders.
"Have your attention now, do I?"
I counter with a smile.
"I'm bored out of my skull. Anything's better than just standing here staring off into space. Go on, out with it."
I take a moment to gather my thoughts, as it's been a long time since I heard it myself. "You've seen the plaque on the other side of the carousel, right?" I ask, finally.
"Yeah, I have,"
Heather says with a nod.
"It has the date that it was installed back in the 60s.
It also talks about how the carousel was brought over from a small defunct carnival in Chicago. What it doesn't mention is that carnival was a front for one of the mob families running things in Chicago at the time. They used it to both launder money and to hide many of their activities from the authorities." I finished pouring the hydraulic fluid and set the bottle off to the side. "The carnival itself was in an isolated area, so there were times that the gangsters would use it as a place to take people they wanted to make disappear."
"This is interesting and all,"
she interjects,
"but I don't see what this has to do with this crap merry-go-round."
"I'm getting to that part right now. The rumors or legends or whatever you want to call them say that sometimes the gangsters would strap their victims to the horses on the carousel, start it up, and use them for target practice as they went round and round. No one knows for sure, but it's believed that at least a dozen people were murdered on it. Some people say the spirits of the dead still haunt the carousel, thirsty for returning the violence that was given to them tenfold."
"You're making this up,"
Heather accuses.
"I absolutely am not," I assure her.
"You can look it up yourself online." "Okay, I'm finished here. Do me a favor and start it up. 1 minute cycle. I'm going to stay on and listen for any more grinding." Heather takes the wrench and empty bottle with her as she goes over to the control panel. I close the hatch before standing up and gripping the side of one of the benches. She gives me a thumbs up, and I mimic the movement to show her that I'm ready. There's a jerk as the carousel starts up. I notice that she looks just the slightest bit nervous as she watches me. I have to hide a smile. She mentioned to me a few weeks ago that she believes in ghosts, and the story I just told her seems to have had an effect on her. I wasn't lying when I told her it's a true story, or at least a story that I've been told is true. Anyone who grew up in the general area of Arcadian Heights heard it as a kid. I imagine that it's been circulating since the carousel was broken down in Chicago and brought over here to its current home. It's absurd, of course. Just a story that kids told their friends to frighten them. I have to admit that the carousel actually is a little creepy with the modifications made for nights of fear. The normally warm, orangish light has been replaced by much harsher white ones. Those lights are dimmed to half their typical brightness, and they flicker every so often as the sound of an electrical charge goes through the speakers. It's very simple and very effective. It's also a little disorienting. I'm starting to get a bit dizzy. Taking a few deep breaths, I force myself to look at the black horse in front of me. Focusing on a nearby object, and not the world spinning by, is the best way to fight nausea while riding a carousel. It's not really working this time, though. I can feel sweat start to form on my forehead as my stomach churns. I've never gotten sick on these things before. It's gotta be the lights. I'm starting to wonder if this could be the start of a seizure. I've never had one before, but I've heard that they can start this way. The music sounds disoriented in my ears as the carousel continues to go around and around. It's warped and unpleasant, like someone is doing their best to make every note as far away from correct as possible. The noise only adds to my discomfort. How much longer does the ride have on the timer? I told Heather to set it for 1 minute, right?
It feels like it's been a lot longer than that. I raise my free hand and wipe the sweat away from my brow. As I do so, I feel something sticky on my fingers. I lower my hand and look at it. It's covered in dark blood. What the hell? There's a loud crack from in front of me. I look up just in time to see the horse nearest me shuddering. Its entire frame is jerking from side to side, causing the pole to bang against the metal holders in the ceiling and floor. One by one, the other horses around me begin to do the same thing. I search for some sort of explanation, but my mind can't come up with one. The cracking noise intensifies. Slowly. So slowly that at first I'm not sure that I'm actually seeing it happen. The horse in front of me's head begins to turn. Pieces of its wooden exterior break away and fall, clanging against the metal floor. Its eyes, normally white with blue pupils, are as black as the rest of it. The head stops moving as it comes to a rest, looking directly at me. The other horse's heads are turning towards me as well. I grip the pole tighter and press myself up against it. My first instinct is to get the hell out of there, to jump off the carousel and get as far as I could from this nightmare. There's nowhere to go, though. I'm surrounded by these suddenly animated parts of the ride. As the horses begin to slowly clack their teeth together, I realize that this has to be a hallucination. I'm more sick than I thought. This isn't just nausea brought on by the flashing lights and movement of the carousel. Something else is wrong with me. In this exact moment, that's both a frightening and comforting thought. There's a noise from above me. I look up, and for a long moment, I don't know exactly what it is that I'm looking at. At least a dozen odd-looking gray objects are lowering down towards me. From this angle, it takes me some time to realize that they're extremely elongated arms, with grasping hands reaching out for me. Hallucination or not, I can't stand to be here any longer. I move to step around the horse to my right. With incredible speed, its head lunges forward and its teeth snap down on my hip. They're sharp enough to cause me to cry out in pain and hurry back to the relative safety of the pole. I hurriedly look up. The hands have almost reached me. All of the horses stop going up and down and instead come to a stop at equal height. They've formed what amounts to a wall around me, keeping me locked in place. Not sure what else to do, I kneel down as low to the floor as I can and cover my head with my arms. I can hear the sickly skin of the arms sliding against the pole as they continue downward. It's hard to breathe. I'm thinking that I'm in the opening stages of a panic attack. The first of the hands reaches me, and I scream in fear as I feel the fingers probe at the back of my shirt. I instinctively flinch away and try to hit the hand away. Instead of moving, however, it wraps around my wrist. Its touch is as cold as ice, and no matter how hard I try to free myself, it remains locked on me. The other hands come within reach and begin to clutch at the parts of me where skin is exposed. Within seconds, they have me by all four limbs. Slowly, the arms start retracting back up into the ceiling, first pulling me back to a standing position before lifting me completely off the floor. They hold me a few feet off the ground with me, facing outwards towards the whirling world beyond the carousel. My head is being held in place, and I can't see the hands anymore. I feel them, however. They're all over my body, and they're pressing their fingers against me so tightly that it hurts. When they start to squeeze even harder, I realize what's about to happen. I try to thrash my body in an attempt to break free, but their grips are like iron. The fingers pierce through my skin. I cry out in agony. I'm almost immediately silenced as another arm descends in front of me and forces itself into my open mouth. It pushes down into my throat, and as much as my body is screaming at me that it needs to gag, I can't. I can't do anything. Tears run down my cheeks. Absolutely nothing. More hands grip my face, and fingers push into my eyes. Everything goes black. Someone is calling my name. The voice is distant, and it sounds like it's coming from underwater. I stay locked in place. I'm cold. So incredibly cold.
Ben?
Heather asks, her voice now crystal clear. My eyes snap open. I'm looking at a pair of shoes. The image is so strange that I can't immediately process it. It's not until I blink a few times to fully clear my vision that I learn that I'm lying on the metal floor of the now stopped carousel. The shoes that I'm seeing are Heather's. She's kneeling next to me and has her hand on my shoulder.
Oh, thank God,
she says in relief.
I thought you were dead. Are you okay?
I must have blacked out. I managed to mumble.
It was more than a blackout.
Heather disagreed.
One second you were standing there, and the next it was like your entire body just shut down. You went straight to the floor. You scared the hell out of me.
I put my hands underneath me and pushed myself up onto my knees. I think I'm okay. She looks at me skeptically.
Are you sure? I really think that you should go to medical. I can cover things here for a while.
No, it's okay. I'm fine. I'm feeling a lot better now. I got back on my feet and stretched for a moment. A quick glance shows me that everything is back to how it should be. If it was even ever really out of place. I can feel Heather watching me with a disapproving look. On some level, I appreciate her concern. But at the same time, that concern is going to be inconvenient if it means that she'll be watching me all night. It's best to get that little stumbling block out of the way now. There is one thing that you can do for me, I tell her. I passed out before I could tell if the hydraulics were good to go. Would you mind taking a few spins on the carousel and listening for anything out of the ordinary?
Sure thing,
she says with a nod. Heather hops back up onto the platform as I go over to the controls. I set the timer for 1 minute before raising my thumb. She returns the gesture, and I press the start button. Now all there is to do is wait. As the carousel begins to spin, I wonder what she'll see during her ride. The machine is telling me that everyone that the ride chooses to show itself to has a different experience. I watch her go by a few times, and part of me wonders exactly what it did to me while I was on it myself. That's just a very small part, though. The vast majority of me simply doesn't care. I don't need to know that. It's not important. Besides, it's not like I'm not still myself. I am. I just have a very crucial responsibility now. Even that isn't all that different from before, either. My job for years has been to take care of this carousel. This new responsibility is just a natural extension of that. The ride comes back around, and I see that Heather has collapsed to the floor. Good. It won't be much longer. The carousel begins to slow, and moments later it's coming to a halt. I step onto the platform and go over to Heather. I kneel down next to her to block her from the view of anyone that might be passing by. She's face down, gripping her by the shoulder. I roll her over. I feel a momentary twinge of sympathy. Her face is contorted in fear, her mouth opened in a soundless scream, and her lifeless eyes bulged out so far that they are on the verge of popping out. Her skin is pale, and she has no pulse. She looks like she's been dead for hours, maybe days, not the less than 1 minute that it has been. The panel underneath the calliope opens. It falls down onto the platform with a clang, creating a 4-foot ramp between the two parts of the carousel. This isn't a coincidence, and it isn't any coincidence that the ride stopped with Heather's body directly next to the panel. Bracing my back against one of the nearby horses, I use my legs to push her corpse into the opening. I hear machinery start to whir, spinning gears catch her arm, and they slowly drag her inside. As they do so, they tear her apart inch by inch, causing blood and tissue to spray against the internal parts. I close the panel before any of it can splatter onto the outside of the carousel. I stand up and nod in satisfaction. Not only have I gotten rid of a potential problem, I've also fed the carousel. More specifically, I've fed those that dwell inside of it. But they and the carousel are one and the same. So it's not like the distinction matters. What matters is that I fulfilled the role that I've been chosen for. The carousel tells me that I'm not done. I nod in understanding. There's more work to do before the night is over. I glance over at the lion. There's still no one standing in it. That's a good thing, I remind myself. I need more people to continue to feed the carousel, yes. But if too many people ride at the same time, I won't be able to do so without being caught. I need to bring the riders on slowly, just one at a time. I notice something out of the corner of my eye and turn towards it. The pipes of the calliope are normally covered in scratches and dents, a testament to how long the ride has been in operation. Now, though, they're completely smooth and polished. I smile. The carousel is already looking more vibrant. I scan the crowd. I can afford to be patient. There's a lot of time left until the park closes. I just need to wait for the perfect opportunity. There, I grin broadly, walking in the general direction of the ride, his hands in his pockets, an expression of sadness and frustration on his face, is a boy. He's probably around 17 or 18, and most importantly, he's alone. I can work with this. Excuse me. I call out to him as he draws closer. He doesn't respond. All that he does is stare at the ground as he keeps walking. I try again, louder, and this time he looks up at me, like he's seeing me for the first time.
Oh, me?
He asked in surprise.
Yeah, you.
I confirm.
Sorry to bother you, but I just want to ask if you're okay. You look a little bit out of it.
Yeah.
He comes a little bit closer before stopping.
It's just a rough night, you know?
I snort.
I've had my fair share of those. In fact, I think I recognize that expression on your face, because I've seen it in the mirror before. Girlfriend troubles?
The boy smiles sheepishly.
That obvious?
Only to someone it's happened to more times than he can count. You know what helps? This is going to sound crazy, but a ride on the carousel helps.
He gives me a look of disbelief.
Yeah, I don't know. That sounds kind of lame.
I finish for him.
I know it sounds that way, but it really does help. I'm not saying that an old amusement park ride's going to cure all your ails. It's relaxing, though. Helps clear your head. I'm speaking from experience.
The boy hesitates. For my part, I just wait patiently for him to come to a decision. I know that he's going to fall off the hook if I pull too hard.
Yeah, okay.
He finally agrees.
Why not, right?
Exactly,
I say with a smile and nod.
What have you got to lose? Grab a seat wherever you like. I promise you're going to be a lot more relaxed when the ride's done.
1 minute later, I'm stepping up onto the platform to feed the machine. The panel opens as I approach. It's like a large metal mouth, eager for its next meal. His body is in the same condition as Heather's. There's a complication here that wasn't present with her, however. The fingers of his right hand are wrapped tightly around the bottom of a pole connecting one of the horses to the platform and ceiling. No matter how hard I pull, I can't get them to release. I glance over my shoulder at the crowd. This is a problem that needs solving immediately. The body may be mostly blocked from view, but the concealment isn't perfect. All it will take is one person to look from a particularly precise angle to ruin everything. Think. This is just a small stumbling block. I can work my way through this. Now that's an idea. Going back over to the control panel, I retrieve the wrench Heather had put away at my request. I returned to the body and got down on my knees next to it. After a quick look to make sure that no one is watching, I began to smash the tool into the fingers. Each blow is met with less resistance than the previous one, as the bones are shattered and pulverized over and over again. When I try to pull the fingers off the pole this time, they easily slid off. They feel squishy, like they're now filled with liquid instead of something more substantial. Now that the hand has come free, I'm able to push the body into the hatch. Gears grind as they pull it in and tear it apart. The door closes, and the process is complete yet again. I hear a popping noise. Turning my head towards it, I see that the mirror-like panels in the center of the carousel are clean and clear. They had been coated in a decades-old film that was impossible to clean off. The carousel continues to regain its strength. There's something happening in the mirror itself, and I lean in closer to get a better look. The glass is shifting. The effect is like a small wave moving across the water. As I watch, the material molds itself into the shape of two faces. One I recognize as Heather's, and the other is the boy that I just fed to the carousel. Both of them are twisted in expressions of agony. The machine is displaying its newest residence. I raise a hand and touch the left cheek of Heather's face. Don't worry, I'll make sure that you have plenty of company. There's plenty of room inside. Now then, who's next? I go back to surveilling the crowd. Everyone that I'm seeing is traveling in groups. Well, it's possible that I can...
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
Handle two or three people. I'm worried that the additional bodies will make it too easy for passerbyos to spot what I'm doing. It's better to be patient and wait for individuals. An individual, just like the young woman, coming closer. She's dressed in a black coat and jeans, and she's nervously chewing her fingernails as she looks around. I wait for her to get within earshot before I call out to her.
Miss, I ask. I'm sorry to bother you, but is everything okay?
She jerks in surprise and stops walking.
Oh, yeah, everything's fine,
she says, her body visibly relaxed. I stare at her for a moment.
You sure? I don't mean to pry, you just look like something's wrong. I was wondering if there's anything that I can help you with.
No, thank you.
She pauses.
Well, actually, maybe you can. I'm looking for my boyfriend. He's about as tall as you. He's wearing a Texas Tech hooded sweatshirt and has the sides of his head shaved.
I have to force myself to keep the look of surprise off my face. This young woman had just described the boy that I fed to the carousel not 15 minutes ago. The one with the girlfriend problems. What are the odds of this happening? As incredible of a coincidence as this is, I have to remember why I started speaking to her in the first place.
Actually, yes, I think I have seen him,
I tell her, thinking quickly.
I spoke with him just a short time ago. He seems pretty upset about something.
The young woman's expression grows even bleaker.
Yeah, he is,
she confirms uncomfortably.
Do you know where he went?
He said something about going to the restroom. He didn't mention which one, though. There are several around here.
Damn it.
I hold up a hand.
While we were talking, I mentioned that a ride on the carousel might help him feel better. He said that he'll come back here after he goes to the bathroom. I'm sure that he'll be back soon. You're welcome to wait.
Her mood seemed to brighten ever so slightly.
Really? Oh, thank God. You don't mind if I just hang out here for a bit?
Not at all.
I tilt my head slightly.
If you don't mind me saying, you look a little tense.
A lot tense, if I'm being truthful.
But while you're waiting, why don't you take a ride on the carousel yourself?
It may not seem like it, but it really is relaxing.
She glances up at the ride.
Oh, no, I think I'll just wait here.
I nod.
Absolutely. I completely understand.
I just thought that with as tense and nervous as you obviously are, you might not want to talk with him in this state.
He was in a bad mood, and I'd hate for you to accidentally say the wrong thing and set him off just because you're not in a calm state of mind.
It's not the most convincing arguments, but I'm counting on her fragile mental state to do most of the heavy lifting. Whatever happened between her and her boyfriend has obviously affected both of them quite a bit. I begin to come up with possible scenarios in my head. Did he cheat on her? No, probably not. The way that he was acting, combined with her nervousness, makes me think that if there is any cheating going on, she's the perpetrator.
Maybe it is something else entirely, though.
Maybe.
Maybe I will take a quick ride,
the young woman says, rousing me out of my thoughts.
Thank you.
She's actually thanking me. I almost feel bad for her. Almost. What I'm doing is too important for sentimentality to come into it. Besides, it's also kind of funny. I watch as she gets onto the ride and sits down, not on one of the horses, but on a bench instead. I'm finding the thought of someone being sacrificed amusing. On some level, I realize how twisted this is, and that mere hours earlier, I would have instead found the thoughts disgusting. That tiny voice is screaming for all it's worth. It's just so far away, so distant. It's hard to pay attention to it when the carousel is much louder and is telling me that everything is as it should be. Wait, what is she doing? She's standing back up and is looking at something on the platform. I can't see from here what's caught her attention. It's close to the hatch I had pushed her boyfriend into. Is there a spot of blood that I didn't see? A tiny splatter thrown out of the gears as they tore him apart. Now she's turned her attention to the mirror-like panels on the stationary center of the ride. Oh, shit. She's recognized her boyfriend's face. I can tell from her expression and the way her body has gone rigid. In just a moment, she's going to get off the carousel and go find help. If she does that, this is all over. Not knowing what else to do, I slam my fist down to the control panel's start button. The ride starts to move. The sudden lurch causes the young woman to temporarily lose her balance, and she stumbles forward before grabbing onto one of the horses to steady herself. When she tries to hurry towards the edge of the platform, the same horse's head comes to life and bites down on her shoulder. She screams out in fear and pain as it drags her back towards the center. My head snaps back and forth as I look out into the crowd. People have stopped walking and are staring at the carousel in an attempt to figure out what's going on. Ah, shit. Oh, shit. The young woman has broken free of the horse and is once again almost at the edge of the platform. More of the horses try to get a hold of her, but she's thin enough to make it around their biting jaws. In a few seconds, she's going to be able to jump off. I hurry forward and leap onto the rotating platform, knocking her down and landing next to her. I hear a loud bang as one of the inner panels opens and slams onto the now slowing platform. There's still enough speed for it to cause sparks to fly upward. The young woman is stunned enough for the fall that she doesn't immediately realize that I'm pulling her towards the center. When she regains her wits, however, she starts thrashing and screaming at the top of her lungs. People in the crowd are yelling. I ignore all of it and just keep moving forward. The ride comes to a complete stop, and the open panel is right in front of me. The two times I've done this before, both the people were already dead. This young woman is very much alive, and she's fighting for all that she's worth to break free. I'm not going to be able to just kick her into the machinery. Taking a deep breath, I half-drag, half-throw her into the opening. She immediately starts trying to free herself, but I reach in and push her further. The gears grab onto her hair and drag her slowly but steadily down into them. Blood and gore is sent flying in all directions. I'm instantly covered in it. It's surprisingly hot against my skin. I ignore it and keep pushing until she's disappeared completely into the carousel machinery. With a sigh, I sit down on the platform and look at the red ichor covering my hands. That quiet and distant voice has grown louder. For a moment, it's able to shout down the carousel's commands. My hands start to shake. Not just my hands, my entire body. Oh my God. What? What have I done? I turn my head and vomit onto the platform. It just keeps coming. By the time that I'm done heaving, I feel completely exhausted. I can hear the voice of the carousel grow louder. Voices, I correct myself. There's more than one voice in there. I can make out the different tones, even though they are all speaking the same words. It's a chorus of nightmares. I can't hold on to myself for much longer. I can barely tell which voice is my own now. I don't know what snapped me out of the carousel's control, but it's quickly reasserting itself. I don't want to hurt anyone else. Dear God, what have I done? Christ, what I did to Heather. Tears well up in my eyes as I start to break. I turn my head towards the still grinding gears. There's only one way to stop the carousel from taking over again. I can't do this. I have to do this. I hear the stomping of feet as people climb onto the platform. There's no time left. Leaning forward, I push myself down into the hatch and towards the machinery.
The carousel must be fed.
Please remember to leave a thumbs up and subscribe if you feel so inclined. The more engagement this video gets, the more YouTube will push my content to others.
Thus, the following will grow.
All stories read in this channel will be available on Spotify, iTunes, and just about everywhere else. Links in the description.
Thank you for listening and feeding the cause. We'll be seeing you.